Take two.
Okay.
Right, welcome everyone to the meeting of the Finance and Good Governance Committee held on Monday the 5th of November 2018. FG 1318, to receive nominations and to elect the Chair of the Finance and Good Governance Committee. Councillor Clark, after the last meeting, was sounded out about becoming chair, and he is happy for his name to be put forward. Are there any other nominations? In that case, could I have a nominator, Councillor Kilmurray, and a seconder, Councillor Stead, for Councillor Clark? All those in favour? Unanimous.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And I will hand over to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, retiring chair. Right, if we could move on to FG 0418, to receive and approve apologies for absence.
None submitted.
None submitted, okay. So if we move on to FG 01518, to receive any declarations of interest and dispensations.
None submitted, all granted.
Okay, so that covers us for A, B, C, all covered. So we move on to FG 1618, to approve the minutes of the Finance and Good Governance Committee meeting held on the 11th of June 2018. I've been through the minutes, I see no problems. Has anybody got any issues or anything they wish to raise?
No.
No.
Questions there? No.
No. No.
Okay, so we can take that as...
You need a proposal and a seconder to approve them.
I'm happy to propose.
And a seconder, Councillor Stead. All those in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. Right, to report on the minutes of the financing, FG 1718, to report on the minutes of the Financing and Governance Committee meeting held on the 11th of June.
One action from the previous meeting to report, namely that it was resolved that the draft terms of reference for this committee would go off to full council to be adopted, and that happened.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so that's done. Right, public participation. As we have no public present, I think we can move swiftly on to FGO 1918 policies. To consider an updated policy review schedule. Now, we have. Let's find a review schedule. Okay, has everybody had a chance to go through this? Has everybody reviewed?
Can I just point out that the action from this last time council looked at the review schedule was for me to add in a column dictating who or which branch of the council would be responsible for the initial review of policies. That has now been done,
okay.
Hence it being in front of you tonight.
Yep.
The only other thing to point out is that the policy review schedule was initially produced from the master list of policies that the council holds. Some of the financial risk assessments have now been subsumed into a wider financial risk assessment, which you will be looking at tonight. So the review process needs to just note that fact as and when it happens.
Okay. That taken, has anybody got any other issues or any points they want to raise with this? Anything that is believed has been missed off? Needs to be added?
No.
Okay. Comfortable with this? Okay. I think we can take this then as approved. Do you need a proposal and a seconder? Can I have a proposer, please? That's Councillor Norman. And a seconder, Councillor Stead. All those in favour?
Unanimous.
Thank you. Okay, so we've got that. To consider a draft policy under. Where are we? To consider the draft update financial regulations.
So this is off the back of an exercise that myself, the Chair and the RFO conducted over the last month or two. Previously, your current financial regulations did not separate out or distinguish rather between the clerk and the responsible financial officer, mm-hmm. So that's been changed. The only other really noteworthy item to bring to Council's attention is that the levels of delegated authority when it comes to spending have been reduced or proposed to be reduced and are now back in line with what the model financial regulations say, and you will find that in Financial Regulation 4.1 on page 7.
Okay, so that's reducing from 8,000 to 5,000. Okay, has everybody had a chance to go through these? Are there any other comments anyone would like to make?
Can I just...
On the stage for the
query, 4.1, where the client was quoting from, the fourth bullet point, the clerk should be allowed to spend up to £500 excluding VAT. I think I'm just mindful of the fact that we haven't entirely got our budget under control yet, and I wonder if the 500 limit is too much.
So what sort of items will we be looking at around £400 to £500?
Taxing and MOT in the van. That's the only thing I can think of. Assuming the MOT comes at the same time as the tax, which it does.
So we don't really want to have to wait time to go through the full council approval for that, do we?
No, but on the other hand... can we give a dispensation for that, ask the RFO, given that the council has agreed that we have to have a van and therefore it has to be...
Financial Regulation 4.5 may well take care of that.
Right, yes.
That would cover the van, I think.
It would cover the van.
So, in which case, the indicator quoted in 4.1, the fourth bullet point, could be reduced if council saw fit.
To £100 or £250? What sort of figure do you have in
mind? We've been using a figure of £100. Do we feel that we're at the stage where we can raise it? Mr. Clark, but I think I would still like to keep it at 100 for the time being.
Right.
Does this cause any issues with day-to-day operations?
I really couldn't say until those issues arise, given what we've been... Most of the large ticket purchases which have been made using the new debit cards have been pre-approved by council. For example, jet washes and UPSs.
So the money's pre-approved, then put onto the card, so that's...
So that's not an issue.
So that's not an issue, is it? It's just...
The UPS and the phone are the only items I can think of.
So it's the van, which is coming up to 4.5.
It's unlikely to happen again in the near future. Most of your expenses are sub £100.
Well, I could always do more frequent orders, but smaller, if necessary.
Would it make sense to make it £200 to the compromise to start with?
Yeah.
Would that help, Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Yes. Right. Okay. Then I'm happy with £200.
Can we amend that then to read 200, please, under section 4.1.4, £200. Okay. Has anybody got any other comments?
Yes. And then other point was 14.2, which is about tangible, movable property, which the RFO followed up with to PAL as to quite what it meant. I don't know, do you want to say anything?
I can't remember. It basically means any fixed asset, really. And it then becomes a bit... onerous, the current requirements, because it's saying that you have to have a business case for any asset over
£250,
which basically is most assets go to more than £250. And the requirement in there is for that you have to have business cases and
£250.
Well, that's, I assume that's what they're suggesting.
Yes, that's presumably the value in there.
We could change it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say the same thing again. I still feel that we're not in sufficient control of our finances to take controls off totally. And I just think it's a good discipline that you make business cases. But I can see that £250 is perhaps a bit low. Yeah. So I think the RFO suggested either £500 or £1,000.
I would tend to support £1,000. £250 I would consider to be a consumable.
I would support £1,000. Any other comments? Councillor Stead?
I thought I'd prefer to keep it down as much as possible. 250 to 500 to 4,000.
Well, it's just the amount of efforts involved for the sum of money that we're talking about, producing full business cases and the like. It's a little excessive.
It would increase workload.
Well, what's your definition of a full business case? How onerous is that? I mean, maybe that's where the adjustment can be made.
An analysis of why we should buy, dispose of, what benefits it has, what problems it's caused by keeping, if we're disposing multiple quotations, which we get anyway.
Yeah, but is this not the thought process that we go through anyway, and it's just writing it down?
Mr. Clark?
My analysis of the regulations is that clause 4.1 that we've just discussed takes care of the spending limits, and that means that clause 14.2 is superfluous. You don't need it.
It's just
contradictory.
Well, it wouldn't be contradictory if we put it up to 500.
Well, we would use 4.1 to 200.
No, you've got authority for the council, authority for a committee, authority for the chair in conjunction with the clerk, and then authority for the clerk on his own. So why have clause 14.2 as well?
Makes sense to delete it. Take the clause out completely.
I don't think Pal said that couldn't be done, did they?
They haven't said it, no. I mean, presumably there is a reason it's in there, but they haven't said it.
It would make it cleaner for us, though, because it's all this.
Palk is saying that this clause, 14.2, should apply to items such as computers, projectors, printers, portable air conditioning, tractors, large items of ground care equipment, small pickup truck and other plant and machinery.
But then the heading for that section of the regulations is assets, properties and estates.
Mm-hmm.
Which for me is completely different from a jet washer.
Well, a jet washer is a fixed asset. Mm-hmm. So it is an asset.
Mm. I do think that section of the regulations is talking about land and buildings.
Yeah.
If you look at all the other clauses in that area.
I do tend to support our clerk here with under 4.1. I think we are duly covered. If you read through the four categories underneath there, it does give us the flexibility, isn't it, to deal with things either in council or...
It does, but then having asked Pauk's opinion of what's meant, we're then...
Well, that's a general guideline, though, isn't it? Pauk's favoured approach doesn't mean that. I should imagine other councils have adapted these documents to fit their own requirements locally. Because this is a standard document, isn't it?
It's based on a model.
So I would support removing 14.2 at this stage.
Okay, I would like to keep it in.
Okay. That's the step.
No, I think I'm good. Okay.
Sorry?
I think I'm happy with that. Yeah, I'm happy with that. The only reason I'm trying to think is it's not just for thinking of if they come back at us later, when you know they've got more and more cuts coming up. If it gets with, let's not get the wrong words in a minute, but I'm not one for keeping the amount as shorter as possible. Because I'm sort of thinking of jumping ahead a bit.
I was thinking about actually removing the clause completely, 14.2, and relying on 4.1 to actually cover us for that eventuality. It's whether you support that or not. Because we're one each at the moment.
Chair, 14.2 covers sale as well as purchase and disposal.
And if you're doing a big... I mean, in the future, you might be making some big asset purchases, particularly when you get some of the Section 106 type of expenditure going on. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to have to write a business case as to why we should be doing it. You know, why you want to spend a big sum of money on something that's going to be used within the council for a long time.
That's the next clause, 14.3.
No, it's not. It's 14.2. Because you have to do a business case for everything which doesn't exceed £250.
14.3 is land. 14.2 is assets other than land, because it's movable property.
Yeah.
So it's not land or buildings, but it's everything else, such as a van.
It's just an issue of getting the right limit there.
Yeah.
Make it appropriate for someone to spend the time.
So I mean, this prohibits us from selling the van unless it's gone through business case and so forth as well.
Which is business case mentioned in here?
Just
going
So are we
then moving towards maybe changing the limit to £500? But you know, you were saying 1,000. I support 1,000. I think it makes more sense. But I think. Councillor Stead wants to keep the balance down, so
yes,
we've got to run with the track, sort of.
Well, 500 would be a compromise then.
Yes,
500.
Yeah. And you know, we're supposed to review these regulations every year, and
if we
get used to what the council is buying and everything else, and we can revise it upwards next year
if necessary. Okay, can we? Are we going to put in the proposal then that the limit goes to £500? Do I have a proposal for that?
Or do we need one for this particular item, or just to approve the whole thing with the...
To approve changes.
Because we've changed 4.1 as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
You can... you can resolve to adopt the regulations as amended.
Okay, so we look to £500 and that one as a compromise for this year, then we'll review that again next time we... do the next year's time. Has there anyone picked anything else up in here that they want to talk about or go through? I couldn't find anything else. So, are we happy to approve the regulations as amended?
Yep.
Can I have a proposal, please? And a seconder? Mr. Kilmurray, all in favour?
So, who was the proposer?
Councillor Norman. And Councillor Kilmurray, and all in favour? Passed. Thank you. To draft an update financial risk. This was done by financial officer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right, has anybody, assumedly we've all read through this, has anybody have any comments on it, amendments, adjustments, additions? And is everybody happy with the gradings as they've been put down? I think they highlight quite sensibly where our risk areas are, and also the level and the impact scores look fine to me. Has anybody got any?
The only debate that we'd had was where business continuity risk comes, and the RFO persuaded me that it's not necessarily a financial risk, so it needs to be in the document that covers the other non-financial risks.
Okay. Anybody got any comments? Other comments? This particular document?
No.
Okay. Right. Can I have a proposal to accept the financial risk document?
Can I just, presumably, Mr. Clark, this goes to the full council?
Would it need to?
I don't know.
I need to refresh myself on the terms of reference for this committee, but quite possibly, yes. Oh.
Yes. It's just that there are some recommended actions in there, so at some stage we need to discuss how those actions are going to be taken forward.
Okay, so I'll rephrase my comment. Can I have a proposer and a seconder for recommending this document as it stands, and also to be put forward to full council for discussion? Okay, Councillor Kilmurray, Councillor Stead, all those in favour?
Thank you.
And thank you, RFO. Right. Reserves policy. Okay, the next one.
So this item was originally scheduled for the last meeting of the full council, but was deferred. So I have shoehorned it into this meeting.
Okay. All right. Has anybody got any comments on this document?
The internal auditor was very keen that this should be reviewed. I cannot for the life of me remember why, apart from the fact it does say at 6.3 the council will review on a 6-month basis if its reserves do not comply with the minimum amount specified, which it doesn't. So because it's about 130,000. So I don't know offhand how much we now have in reserves, but I don't think it's that much, is it?
That's kind of a moving thing at all times, but from last year's reserves were around about 90,000,
which is about it's going
4 months. And it is going up. And actually, there is no requirement that we have to have 6 months on the
But that was what the council decided that we would aim for.
We wanted to go for 6 months.
But does it say you have to have 6 months, or are you working towards 6 months?
It says we consider a prudent level of general reserves to be 6 months of its annual expenditure. Because, I mean, we can have anywhere between about 3 months and 12 months, can't we?
Can I just check that it is based on annual expenditure rather than percent?
Yes.
So you want it done on...
That was how, at the time that we did it, we were advised that it should be done.
Okay, so you're not taking into account your income then, so you're doing it on... That's fine, as long as that's just what you're...
Sorry, I think we are taking into account income, aren't we, if it's annual expenditure?
No. If it was precept, if you're saying your precept is the net of your what your budgeted expenditure is, less what your budgeted income is going to be. So then you're looking at, so if you're saying it's 4 months of precept, that is a lower figure than 4 months worth of expenditure.
Right. Now, in that case, we wanted to go for the higher.
It makes more sense to have the reserve to be a function of what we spend rather than what we get in on precept.
Okay. So we're happy with 130. I mentioned this to the clerk earlier. The 3 months' salaries, do we consider that to be sufficient under 5.4? And then the clerk did say we do have the reserves there to pull from if and when there was an issue. But do we consider 3 months to be sufficient?
That this must have come from a standard reserve policy. I can't remember now whose I used, but I think I did a best of several different versions, but I think that must have been what was recommended.
Okay.
Now we have an election reserve. Does that need to be mentioned in here, do you think?
Is that not covered under ring fence?
I don't know, it might be, it's just now we've got one.
That would be ring fence.
Yes, yeah.
Just part of one of the ring fence.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's fine then.
So, based on our reviews, do we have a proposer for the reserves policy? Instead,
can I ask what the proposal is?
To accept the policy as... Read out here, and the seconder, Councillor Norman, and all those in favour, that's unanimous. Thank you. Okay, right, now we move on to FG0 2018, governance matters, to consider correspondence regarding car park rates. Having read this. Does anybody want to open with any comments? I read yours. Although, and I've got my own view on this as well.
I thought Councillor Kilmurray put it very succinctly, actually. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
The sense of frustration coming through.
Yes, the I think the sentence that sums it up for me is that there is an assumption that we can get an income off this, and that is why the rates are set such as they are in their mandatory formula. I forget that. I forget what it actually says. But at the same time, my understanding is that the lease that we have the car park under from South Cam's District Council, who are the ones that are charging us the rates, say that we are not permitted to make any charge for anything that happens on the car park.
That's correct.
Which kind of means that they can't assume we have an income from it.
Well, reading under rental evidence, in your submission you have declared that there is no rent passing on the subject of the property. You have not provided any other rental evidence to justify your proposed valuation. It seems like a semi-contradiction in terms. Have we got any written documentation from South Cams?
There's the lease.
So when we went forward with our request to not be rated on this, to be charged on this, did we submit a copy of that lease?
I don't know.
To confirm, to prove evidentially that we were not going to receive any benefit from this?
I don't know, I wasn't involved.
Mr. Farr?
I don't believe you did. I read through the submission documentation today. And in the form that was originally sent off at the start of this challenge process, I saw no mention of the fact that I saw no attachment of a lease. Okay. I see, but I have been through the lease today, and you are right, it does say that the car park is...
So from their perspective, when they read our submission, they are just working on the premise that we decided not to charge anybody any car parking fees, and that's
could
it.
Could be, I mean... It
maybe a misunderstanding?
I suspect it's a case of we assumed it's the same body, therefore they would know that we can't charge.
So on the basis we have till the 19th.
I suspect left and right don't talk to one another.
So we have until the 19th to submit objections to their findings. Would it make sense, Mr. Clark, if we were to send a certified copy of the lease, get it certified? Presumably, it's not a photocopy, wouldn't do, not with anything legal, I should imagine.
Well, they should be able to match it up with their copy of the same lease.
Maybe, if we could check that out, but I would... I mean, sending anything like that, I would just get it certified, but...
I'd like it to also get clarification from a rates officer at South Cams.
That's what I was going to ask, is there anybody that we can talk to before we do that?
Yeah, no, let's find the best way to address this and approach it. But I think submitting proper factual documentation in writing that's come from there is going to be better than just rolling over.
Absolutely. I think it's worth a shot, isn't it?
Well, it's not going to hurt us if we don't succeed in the appeal, then things will carry on as they are.
So can at this stage we ask our clerk to actually make the necessary calls to South Cairns, talk to a roadway officer, and then hopefully submit this, presumably by registered post, before the 19th. So we get our application to challenge this in. Mm-hmm. We don't need to vote on that at this stage, do we?
Yes.
Do we? Yeah, so can I have a proposal to go back and challenge this recommendation? Yep. Councillor Kilmurray, seconder. Councillor Stead, all those in favour? That's carried. Thank you. To move on to FG 02018B, to consider the policy to evaluate the effectiveness of internal audit. Right. Have we all had a chance to read through this document? Are there any comments, questions, additions, subtractions?
Just one from me.
Oh, okay, fine.
Which is to remind Council that you have your interim mid-year internal audit review scheduled for the end of this month, and it would be a good opportunity to road test this document.
Okay.
I've got a few.
It's a full council.
That's right. It says on here that it will be reviewed every 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then in the terms of reference for the internal audit, it says every 12 months.
I think the 12 months refers to the terms of reference for the internal auditor rather than
that's
the...
That's what that says, the terms of reference.
Oh, right, I'm sorry.
So that just needs to be consistent. The other things were under this review of effectiveness bit. It talks about the terms of reference define the audit responsibilities in relation to fraud and the responsibilities of the office and internal audit defined in relation to control, risk management and fraud or corruption. And I couldn't see that being very explicit in the other document, the terms of reference for the internal auditor. There's something that's just about safeguarding of assets.
Right.
Including those arising from fraud, irregularity and corruption. But I didn't feel it was... I don't know, I suppose the question is, are we being specific enough there about defining the audit responsibilities in relation to fraud?
Sorry, where are you?
So in this,
yes,
it says the terms of reference define the audit responsibilities in relation to fraud.
Yeah.
But in the internal audit terms of reference, I'm not thinking it's that that it were very specific about what the responsibilities are in relation to fraud.
So have you got a suggestion as to what it should say?
I could probably think of something. It's just that I'm just wondering if it's meant to be more specific or you're happy with it like that.
No, I think if you could improve upon it, that would be very good.
Okay. So what, I suppose the question is then, what are your expectations from them in terms of that?
Fraud?
Mm. Mm.
I don't know.
You don't know? Mm.
That's why I think we'd be very happy to be guided by someone who does know.
Yeah, okay, because I mean we can't, they're not there to find fraud, they will do sampling methods. Although they should be looking at whether our controls are sufficient that they would actually identify. Yeah.
Signatures, etc., etc.
Let me just say, this is what it said in other people's policies.
Yeah, no,
and if it had
just
been more narrowly defined, I would have copied it across. Yeah. But
it's a good document. It's just I just read that and then couldn't find in here anything that says about fraud. But it's.
I had a comment on be challenging. I focuses on risk and encourages members to develop their own responses.
Mm.
How does the internal auditor actually gauge that?
Because we get the council gets a report from the internal auditor where she makes or he makes recommendations. As a council, we discuss it, and if we think there's anything in there that needs to be done, at that stage, we agree
an
action.
That's our responsibility.
Yes.
So we are going to ask the MIFO to come up with some additional wording.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I said, wanted to say something.
That's the same. Did you want to
ask me? No, I'm all right.
I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
So the proposal at this stage is for the document to be reviewed again by the RFO and come up with some additional wording to circulate.
Well, actually, I think the wording would actually be in the other document.
In the next
document.
So
we're comfortable with leaving this document as is, and we'll amend the internal.
And then it needs to be defined better.
Chair, that the proposal be that the document is adopted as amended, because you want it to say reviewed every 12 months rather than every 3 years.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, can I have a proposal, please, to adopt the review document, the policy and procedure, as amended.
Yeah.
Councillor Norman, supported by Councillor Kilmaine. All those in favour? Yes. Okay, thank you. So it's going to be 12 minutes. Okay, so next. J,
Chair, on the next item, can I just point out that I probably should have worded it slightly better. In fact, I missed the C off as well, didn't I? To consider a draft letter, it's actually to consider the terms of reference which would be attached to a draft letter. A draft letter is just a standard email saying.
Okay. That's noted, duly noted. So we now move on to FG 2018C. With additional comments from Clark already laid out, and the RFO will be coming up with some alternative wording with regards to the Ford category. And I would suggest submit to the members of this committee for approval, and then we could do that via. And we can take this forward because this committee only meets every.
The next meeting, this committee is on the 17th of December. We could produce a revised document for them.
Okay, that'd be suitable to everybody?
Yep.
Okay, so can I have a proposal, please, to subject to the RFO's additional wording, that this will be reviewed again at the 17th of December meeting. Okay, that's Councillor Kamara, supported by Councillor Stead. All those in favour? Thank you. Right, to FG 2118A, to receive the updated risk assessment. Now, this is for the pavilion.
Yes, so the risk assessment in your agenda pack was approved at the meeting of the full council in March of this year, but then some minor changes were made to it after I believe it was the assistant clerk and the chair did some work on it. And it was requested that the amended risk assessment come to this meeting for noting.
Yeah. Okay. It was changed mainly because of this decision to have the key safe.
Right.
So it was more things were put onto the hirers to check off and everything like that. And there was some other tweaks, but that was the main change.
Right, I'll kick off then with this. First thing I picked up on, but we discussed with the clerk, the fire low section, it doesn't identify how frequently the fire extinguishers are actually checked. I would suggest a minimum of annually, although you don't have to specify. I would suggest annually should be in there.
You want to amend the wording there, fire extinguishers provided and checked annually.
Yes. Basically that checks, by the fire service or whoever comes in to do the inspection, people will sign off on it. We don't have anything else. I'd just like to see that wording in there because I think that makes it's clear then. Although it's almost taken as a given that it's done annually because we do all of our reviews, certain things. Mr. Clark, you said about April, wasn't that something?
Yes, it's currently featuring in the budget for next year, safety testing and fire checking on all parish council.
But I just think for completeness, just to be done annually, the fact is it's done every year, just to add that. Mm. That would be my recommendation there. And another thing I didn't quite understand, it says hazardous substance low. All cleaning materials are stored in a cupboard.
Yes, because locked has been deleted.
And locked has been
because
deleted.
That Claire and I have been in there and we've tried to work out how we could store the cleaning materials in a locked cupboard, and we can't because of the things about where youth club. So it's just
it is
the locked bit was deleted.
So I just took out locked. The cupboard is in the kitchen?
No, it's the one in the home changing room where Matt keeps those great big mats.
Okay. So it's not locked?
No, because.
Well, according to this, it's leaked, but in a leaked cupboard.
Only when they have very heavy showers.
Oh, that's a no.
Does it say locked?
I've got this. I'll change my glasses, sorry. Saucy pub okay, well that's obvious. That's just nothing good. Get out, but nothing else. Anything else in this document?
No.
Okay. Could I have a proposal for approving this document?
Oh, it has already been approved. It's already been approved, yeah. You just need to notice to note the
okay.
Updating.
Can we note the updating, please? We do not have to do that, do we? Just updating regarding the fire extinguisher. Okay, it's noted. Okay, the last item on the agenda. So another day of the next meeting, which is the 17th of December. That's FG02218.
And committee members will get some homemade mince pies, courtesy of yours truly. Oh, the last meeting before Christmas.
I'll close the meeting. Thank you.